Come to order. Tatiana, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo. Ranking Democratic Member Escamani.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Goff Marcel.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Mariano.
Here.
McFarland. Nixon.
Here.
Onfroy is excused. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken. Robinson.
Here.
Toledo.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Tatiana. Members, before we get started, protocol to make sure we turn off any devices that'll make noise. Thank you. And if you're going to speak, please turn on your microphone. I know last week we had our love fest where we all said goodbye, and I usually am a man of my words, but the people have spoken, and we have some unfinished business to attend to, and we intend on doing that. We have two bills up today, and give me one. Our first bill up is from Representative Daly. Bill number 1269. Welcome and giddy up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And thank you, committee members. House Bill 1269 relates to standard bred racing in Florida. As you may recall, during our special session on gaming, we chose to decouple standard bred racing in the state of Florida. And unfortunately, the unintended consequence of doing so is the way that it was done foreclosed any opportunity for this industry to race really at all. Standard bred racing, as you may remember, has a long history in Florida and impacts over 10,000 Floridians, either directly involved or ancillarily connected thereto, and is a storied Florida agricultural industry, and it's really been a shame to see it happen the way that it did. This bill is a step in the right direction, and it allows existing permit holders to offer standard bred racing at their choosing. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that's the bill.
Members, any questions? Representative Maggard.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Daly. Are you even old enough to be able to run this bill, plus you can vote on, you know, bet at it?
It's not a subject to the bill, so you, any additional questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Chair.
Representative Grieco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And speaking of old enough, Representative Daly, is today your birthday?
Representative Daly, this committee is out of order. That's not subject to the bill either. Any additional questions? Representative Grieco?
There are, Mr. Chair. I had a few others that are not subject to the bill.
Okay.
But that being said, Representative Daly, I got some information about this last year, but can you elaborate on the decoupling issue, kind of explain what the impact was and kind of get in the weeds a little bit so we can understand what the impact was?
You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. As an aside, it is my birthday, which means you can't vote down on this bill. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. So to give you a little bit of background, so obviously we went through that process last session. Senate Bill 8, 8A, chose to decouple standard bred racing. So what it said prior to special session was that if you were a paramutual operator and you were paired with a thoroughbred track, standard bred track, high life fronton, you had to continue to offer that, you were required to offer that live racing or live action sport in order to keep your casino in your card room. Decoupling, we kept thoroughbreds coupled, we decoupled standardbreds, basically saying, hey, we know that this is the deal that y'all agreed to when you originally got the slots in the card room, but now we're letting you off scot-free. There was one operator in the state of Florida, and that was the Isle Casino in Pompano Park, in Pompano Beach, Florida. I mentioned at the time that if we decoupled, that would likely lead to the end of harness racing in Florida and certainly the closure of that track, and that's exactly, candidly, what's happened. They have said, they have put out to the horsemen That this will be the last racing season at the Pompano Park. This is a track that's been around since, I think, the 40s or 50s. I grew up in part on that track. And really, as a candidly, if I can for a second, as a slap in the face, just yesterday, Caesars Entertainment hosted a groundbreaking at that track, basically saying, hey, we're going to rebrand this as Harrah's Pompano Beach. We're closing the track, and this is step one to an overall redevelopment of that property on the backs of the horsemen that helped them get there in the first place. Thank you for the question.
Follow up? Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this really doesn't go to the substance of your House bill, but I'm just curious, on the Senate side, is there a companion? Is it moving in the Senate? Or what's the status of your bill on the other side of the chamber?
You're right.
Representative.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for that question as well. Look, you all had my back. The House had my back and the backs of the standard-bred men and women across this state, and I appreciate that last year. I think we had the votes in the Senate to stop the decoupling. Unfortunately, leadership at the time said, we're going to go in this direction, and that's a decision they made. But there was also a commitment at that time. The Senate said, listen, this is something that we want to help the horsemen do. We will help them in the future. So far, that bill has been filed. There is a companion, Senator Chevron Jones has it. It has yet to be heard, but we're trying to get it moving on this side, and I appreciate the chair, all the work that you've done to help get it up, because it really helps. It helps kind of show that there's momentum behind this issue in moving it on the Senate side as well, and my hope is that our Senate colleagues will make good on the promise that they made to help these folks. Again, these are 10,000 folks in the agriculture industry in Florida. It's an important multi-million-dollar industry to Florida, and we need to make sure they can continue to operate.
Well, seeing no additional questions, any public testimony? Courtney Larkin from the Farm Bureau. Thank you. Waving in support. Lauren Jackson from Florida Standardbred Breeders and Owners Association. Waving support. Thank you. That's it. Members, we're in debate. Representative Harding.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Daly. I enjoyed our discussion on this issue last year and glad to see this bill up. I can't let a moment go by that we talk about horses that we don't, talk about my community in Marion County, where we have a lot of horses, horse capital of the world. But we do have a couple standardbred farms, and I support what you're doing. I think the comment I made during our special session on the decoupling issue was, which came first, the horse racing or the casino? And we know the answer, that's horse racing. So I support what you're doing on this issue. And moving forward in my time in the legislature is to continue the effort that we're doing in preserving horse racing, because it is an important industry. And your community, it's really important in mine, a multi-billion dollar industry that employs hundreds of people and attracts thousands of people from all over the world to come to Ocala. So appreciate what you're doing, and I'll be supporting the bill. Thank you.
Representative Maggart.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Daly, I'm glad we have finally come to something we can agree on. And I will be voting up on your bill today. Happy birthday.
Thanks, sir.
Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman. And Rip Daly, I know what you're trying to do in this bill. I don't have any quarrel with that or the type of horses that are being raced or, trying to preserve our industry. I'm very sympathetic to that. Unfortunately, in this instance, I'm going to have to be down on this bill. And the reason for that is that we are potentially creating new races in new locations and something additional that might be wagered on. And I said a while ago that I would not vote for anything that would expand gambling. And so it's not the horse racing per se that was a reason for my vote or anything like that, but that there would be new races in new locations that could be wagered upon. And I do have to keep that promise to my constituents. So we'll be down on it, but I'm certainly not unsympathetic to the policies that you're trying to promote. Thank you.
Additional debate. Representative Daly, please close your bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And normally I'd waive close, but this is too big of an issue, and I appreciate your indulgence. Just to clarify, members, it is only for existing properties. So these are an existing permit holder. So these are folks who are already hosting some sort of live action, take it, you know, be it Thoroughbred or High Lie. If they want the option to permit standard racing, they could do so. Members, you've heard me speak at length on this issue during the special session on gaming. Probably, if you've been stuck with me in committee for longer than 10 minutes, I probably raised it to you at some point this session as well. These are salt of the earth people. They're not super political. They don't have big high powered lobbyists that come up here and give campaign donations and everything else. These are folks that just want to race their horses and raise their families here in the state of Florida. And you know, I want to share with you just a very, very brief story, because I know Chair Fine is here and I don't want him to cut my appropriations out of the budget. Quick story. This weekend I was at the barn. As you all know, my father's a standardbred horseman and I helped him out at the barn, and we're jogging horses together. We're going around the track. If you saw me a little red yesterday, I got plenty of sun. And a gentleman pulled up next to me as I'm there jogging the horse, and he goes, "Hey, are you Dan Daly's boy?" And I said, "My dad is also Dan Daly." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "You're like a state ambassador, state assemblyman, right?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Well, I hope you're successful. I want to thank you for what you're doing, and I hope you're successful. Because I moved to Florida in 1982. Florida has been my home, and I came here for standardbred racing, and I've been here because of standardbred racing. And I have news for you. I'm not getting out of this business. It's just going to force me to uproot me and my family, and I'm going to have to go somewhere else. So I hope that you're successful, and members, with your help, we will be." So with that, I do want to say a hearty thank you to the chair. I bugged you a lot, and I really appreciate you. Laura Anstead, thank you for helping us draft it and get here. Rep Ingolia, Rep DeSigley, the fourth floor, so many others that made this very possible. And with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Representative Dilling, having closed on a bill, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
Yes.
Representatives, Beltran?
No.
Daly?
Yes.
Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariana?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Onfroy is excused. Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken? Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Bill pass.
Members, by your vote, we will show HB 1269, Paramutual Wagering by Daly, reported favorably. Congratulations. Up next, and the last bill, probably of the year, will be HB 969, Resale of Tickets by Representative Fine. You're recognized.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you saving the best for last. HB 969 does two things. It requires ticket issuers, when you're going to a concert effectively, to offer consumers the choice to buy freely transferable tickets. And second, it prohibits ticket issuers from penalizing consumers who choose to buy or resell a transferable ticket on a ticket website of their choice. There are exemptions to this. They are the current exemptions in statute, and that is the bill.
Members, any questions? Representative Grieco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Fine. I was telling some of my colleagues that I've been lobbied more on this issue in the last 24 hours than I think on most of the issues this session, and I'm not necessarily sure why, but I guess the question is there anything preventing the initial ticket issuer from charging a fee in exchange for allowing the ticket to be freely transferable?
You're recognized.
There's not. So this bill says the option must be provided. It does not say they cannot charge for that option. Ironically, I haven't been lobbied on the bill at all, except for one meeting I had months ago. It seems to be a pattern for me this session. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong or right. But I will tell you what this is fundamentally about. This is fundamentally about whether there will be vertical integration in ticket sales or whether there will be a competitive market. So just to make a simple example, we're all in the legislature. We all probably have made plans, and they have had to change. And so you bought a ticket to a concert, and you find out, you know, Rommel's going to actually have a meeting you didn't expect, and you've got to come up here, and you can't go to your concert. And so there's one school of thought that says, look, I want those tickets to only be able to be transferable through a proprietary channel. There will only be one place that you buy the tickets, and then you must sell it through that one channel. Or you can't sell it at all, and the tickets just go away. The other view is, once you've bought that ticket, if you can't go to the concert,
If it's open for resale, you can sell it however or transfer it however you want. That's the fundamental debate, is whether we'll have a monopolist view of ticket resale or whether we'll have a free market for ticket resale. I happen to believe in the free market approach, and that's what this bill would do.
Representative Mariano.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Fine. You mentioned free market. Does this bill allow an artist to determine the means that their ticket is sold? If they want to only sell non-transferable tickets, this bill allow them to do that?
You're recognized.
Thank you. If they met one of the criteria, if the exemptions exist today, yes. Otherwise, no. And I will tell you, that is a concern that folks will say, well, if you don't allow transferable tickets, or if you allow them to be transferable, artists will not come to Florida, they will not perform. Whoever, I happen to know who your favorite artist is, I'm not going to say who it is, I was trying to think of one that would embarrass you. But the fact of the matter is, in the other states that have done this, what we're talking about doing here today, all of those artists who say they won't come if you do it continue to go. New York does this, which is the single largest place where people have concerts, and all of these artists still go. They all perform there. It's an empty threat that no one has ever acted upon. So it's not something you have to worry about.
Thank you, Chair. And being a Swiftie is nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah. Maybe I should be embarrassed that I'm not particularly knowledgeable about her. So,
But just to follow up on that, I'm not so much worried about a threat that the artist won't come to the state. What I'm worried about is consumers or an artist that wants to make sure that their fans have access to these tickets and don't get bought up by bots and resold. They want to protect their fans coming in. Why would we take away that ability from the artist to be able to determine who buys their tickets? And we allow, there's exemptions under law, for example, for Disney. Why is Disney able to do this, but our artists that come to the state won't be able to do this?
Recognize.
It's a great question. The reason is the concern that you have is already addressed in current law. Using bots to buy up tickets is against the law. So that problem we've already addressed. You're not allowed to do that. That's why you've got to pick, you know, where the lines on the, where the crosswalk lines or where the stoplights and all those sorts of things. That's technology that we use, but bots are illegal under federal and state law today.
Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. My concern, and I may be out of line, can you talk to me about, are there any controls as it relates to scamming or anything like that? Fraudulent tickets, is there going to be a higher risk of that if this bill passes?
You can try to answer everyone.
Sure. I mean, that's already an issue in the world. People can say they're selling something that they don't actually have, or they can create a fraudulent ticket that they have. Look, one of the leading providers of this is StubHub, for example, a company I used a number of years ago. And I mean, I think about it myself. I wanted to take my parents to the Final Four to cheer them up after my only sibling had suddenly passed away. I couldn't buy the tickets. They were already all sold. It was StubHub that I was able to get them. And I had that same concern. I'm like, man, I'm paying a lot of money for these tickets, and what if they're not real? These providers offer insurance and products, and it happens a very, very small percentage of the time. But when it does, they reimburse people. And frankly, those folks don't want that. I mean, imagine if that happens to you once on any of these providers, you'll never use them again. So the folks who do this, the platforms that do this, have more incentive than anyone to make sure that this problem doesn't happen.
Additional questions? Seeing no. Representative Escamon.
So much, Chair. Thanks, Chair Fine. I know some of the concerns I think the Senate had too was just like price hikes. And I wonder if you could speak a little more to any concerns about that. I mean, not just with the resale, but I mean, I think this was already addressed, but for example, Ticketmaster could charge more for transferable versus non-transferable. Could you just speak to that a little bit more?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So this bill does not state they can't charge more for the option. So they can have their non-transferable price. They must offer a transferable price. The bill is silent as to whether they have to charge the same price for the transferable tickets. But I would note that Ticketmaster, which is generally the leading purveyor that's made huge successes over the last 30 years in vertically integrating that business. They do this often right now, and you can go look up your favorite venue or favorite artist performing, and you will find most likely tickets for that artist sometimes at 5, 10, 20 times that original face value. I don't think that the number of tickets that are quote-unquote non-transferable is infinitesimal. That is, I think, a red herring in this debate. I think the debate is whether we're going to allow one company to have a monopoly on the transferability and resale of tickets so they can continue to vertically integrate that value chain, or whether we're going to have an open market. It is better for consumers to say, if you get called back to Tallahassee for something and you can't use your tickets, you can transfer them however you want to somebody else, as opposed to you have to throw them in the trash.
Thank you for that, Rep. And then I think Rep. Mariano kind of already alluded to this question, but just for some more clarity too. So what control right now do artists have in dictating that decision-making, and how does your bill change that?
You recognize.
I think this doesn't happen all that often today, this notion of artists not wanting tickets transferred. What is more often happening is they only want them transferred through one platform, by coincidence. So this doesn't happen all that often. Again, the controls here are the free market. If there are ticket resellers that burn people, people aren't going to use them. But when these tickets flood the market, if they do, the market will determine what the prices are for them. We've probably all tried to get a ticket to something relatively late in the process, after all the original tickets have been purchased, the market determines what those tickets will actually go for.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Chair Fine, you've been speaking to vertical integration. So my understanding of Ticketmaster is also under Live Nation. Could you speak more to that vertical integration you're referencing? Just kind of give us the specifics.
Sure, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't really want to bash any company, but the more you can control the value chain, the artists, the venues, the original ticket selling, and then the reselling, if you can lock that all up, and that's a great business strategy, don't get me wrong, the more you can lock that up, you reduce competition, it gives you the ability to raise prices. The more people that are involved in that value chain, the lower prices are going to be. This is, again, fundamentally a debate over whether resale and transfer will be through one channel and one channel only, or whether there will be a market thus facilitating lower prices for resale tickets overall.
Representative Mariano.
Thank you, Chair. Second bite at the apple. So you mentioned a monopoly. Is there anything that stops artists and performers that come in from using other companies to originally sell their tickets and be able to do that? Or is there, what's the constraint there? What makes it a monopoly?
Recognize.
Sure. And I think to some degree we're going far outside the scope of the bill, but I'm happy to answer this based on what I know. In many cases, individual proprietors, ticket sellers, have not only sell tickets, but they've locked up the venues in which they have the right to be the exclusive seller of tickets for a venue. I don't propose to change that. But if there's only one place in Tampa where a certain performer could perform because of the size and the facility to accommodate it, and there's only one company that has the right to sell their tickets, that is exactly a monopoly. So that issue is already happening. This bill does not address that in any way. But in most of our major cities, you know, there's not like 14 arenas. There may be one. In Orlando, it's Amway, you know, where the big shows perform. And so if one company has the right to sell those tickets, then that's the only game in town. And then if we also give that company the exclusive right to transfer or resell those tickets, it just creates more upward push on pricing and, frankly, creates the opportunity for lots more fees. Think about the last time you bought a ticket to the concert and what you thought you were going to pay by the time it was done. You know, the ticket could have been, you know, 30 or 40% more. Again, the more competition there is, the less likely that is going to happen.
You recognize.
Thank you. But that venue can determine who they license to sell their tickets. They could choose more than one ticket provider. They could choose one. They have options, correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, outside the subject of the bill, but what has tended to happen over the course of time is, again, it's a great business strategy. In order to make more money, these companies have cut these exclusive deals with these providers. Once you do that, they can't do that. They've signed a contract that says you can only buy tickets through X, Y, and Z. And then X, Y, and Z says, hey, I want to be the only place where you can transfer or resell those tickets. Again, this is fundamentally not a bill about, this is fundamentally, frankly, a dispute between you know, various large companies. I'm on the side of the large companies that I think will bring down prices as opposed to the large companies that will push prices up.
Representative Nixon.
But wouldn't that be impeding on the freedom of that company to sell those tickets to who to use that one provider if that's what they want to do?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've sort of gone outside the scope of the bill. This bill does nothing in any way to impede the right of a venue to choose how to originally sell tickets. It's not the subject of the bill.
All right. Got enough questions here. Before we get into public testimony, I want to recognize Representative McFarland's parents sitting there. Thank you for visiting your daughter in the Ford House. She's doing a great job, and I know you guys have a great political past, and the future is looking bright.
Where was she? She's not too embarrassed.
Great. Public testimony. Brian Hess from Sports Fan Coalition, wishing to appear, but he's magically disappeared, so he's a proponent of the bill. Chris Van Doof.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Fine did such a good job that I'm just going to wave in support.
Waving in support. Thank you. Well, I don't know. Laura Dooley from StubHub. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Hello, my name is Laura Dooley. I'm the head of government relations for StubHub. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today and speak in support of House Bill 969. I share the other sentiment that Chairman Fine did such a fine job representing this bill that I'll be very quick to just explain who StubHub is and our interest in this legislation and then answer any questions that you may have. StubHub was founded in 2000, and we really revolutionized the way that ticket resale work. We took it off the street corners and put it onto the internet, offering a safe, secure, and transparent marketplace for buyers and sellers to connect. Today, we're a trusted global brand. We're helping live event enthusiasts access the events that they want to see. In 2019 alone, we sold tickets to customers in all 50 states to events in Florida, as well as customers to 36 countries to events in Florida. They're recognizing our brand as an access point and helping people experience things in your great state. 20 plus years later, the secondary ticketing market is alive and well and a well-established component of the live events industry. As was mentioned, the resale of tickets in Florida has been contemplated in statute. It is legal to participate in this market, and it's something now that we see every major ticketing provider, including Ticketmaster, participate in, as well as every major sports teams, most major venues. They are all providing access to the secondary ticketing market for their customers. So the debate is really not about whether resale is good or bad. The debate today is whether and who should control resale. And we share the interests of House Bill 969 to say we believe the customer should be in control of that. Once the customer purchases the ticket at the price that was deemed appropriate for that initial sale, it should be theirs to make decisions moving forward. We believe that House Bill 969 provides a common sense solution to this problem by just simply inserting choice into this transaction. Without choice, the monopolies that dominate our industry are able to control the life cycle of that ticket from the moment you buy it to the moment you enter the venue. Absent this choice, you're locked into that ecosystem. At its most egregious, that ecosystem might tell you you cannot transfer that ticket at all. And by the way, these tickets are not refundable, so it's a lost sale on your end. Or what's happening more and more often, as we heard, is that the tickets are being, they can be transferred, but they must be transferred through our system, the system of the person who initially sold it to you. So what does that mean? It means customers don't have a choice to go outside that system and shop around for better prices or customer service. It means that there's a data grab going on. Every customer needs to now go back to the original seller and give them their consumer data in order to participate in that market. And it's certainly something that we're seeing happen to today. It's not a future issue, it's a today issue. Every major NHL, NBA, and NFL team in Florida are using this practice. There are five venues that are owned or exclusively operated by Live Nation Entertainment that are using this practice today in Florida. And so what we're looking for, again, is a common sense solution to tell the customer that you have some control in this sale process, and this is the control you have. It's an option. The technology is not being impacted. The ability to keep people in the loop is not being impacted if the consumer chooses to do that. If the consumer chooses to opt out, they're more than welcome to. And I'll just take the time to kind of address, I think, one of the themes that we've talked about already, the use of nefarious technologies to gobble up tickets in order to sell them at inflated prices on the secondary market. I think that argument, inherently suggests that prices on the secondary market are inflated. That's not the case all of the time. There are instances where prices are higher than what you may have been able to buy on the primary. There are many cases where prices are lower. I did a quick spot check today. You can get into any NBA or NHL game in the state of Florida on StubHub for $35 to $40. That's not an inflated price based on the original sale. The opportunity to find below face value tickets exists. It exists quite frequently, particularly in events that have a lot of inventory, a lot of volume, sporting teams in particular. And so I think that's an important note. And I just want to reemphasize that the use of bots is illegal both in Florida and federally. I think the other thing we should talk about too is ticket limits, right? So there is a practice that primary ticketers have today where they tell you, you cannot buy more than 8 tickets to this event. This bill does nothing to impact the establishment of ticket limits. If ticket limits are exceeded, those tickets can be canceled, and that is not something that this bill would impact. So with that, just thank you again for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions, and we appreciate and encourage your support of House Bill 969.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Charles Sasbo from NetChoice, waving in support. Jared O'Rourke from Vivid Seats. Waving in opposition. Waving in support. Sorry, my bad. What's that?
I couldn't hear you on your mic.
Oh, sorry if you can't hear. Chris Schoonover from Florida Association of Ticket Brokers. Waving in support. Jeff Johnson, Live Nation. Waving in opposition. And Cameron Yarbo from Ticket Network. He's a proponent and waving in support. And members, we're in debate. Representative Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Fine, for bringing this good bill. I certainly appreciate the free market principles that you're, you know, relying on to support this policy. And in reviewing it, it made me realize I'm unclear on why the government was ever involved and continues to be involved in this business. You know, why are we, sometimes in Florida historically, we've made it illegal to transfer tickets. And then we've changed the law and made it legal. And then we've changed it back and made it illegal again. It's a little unclear why we continue to, enter into these relationships and think that it's good public policy to work with the stadiums and the arenas to spend tax dollars to build the venues, to spend tax dollars on annual subsidies, and to spend tax dollars on whether or not their tickets are transferable. I think taken to its logical conclusion, the free market principle is clear, that you just make them transferable. I think the only competing interest against that, of course, would be the freedom to contract. And you talked about that at the beginning. I'd love to hear you comment more on that in debate. But I think the free market principles here are on your side, and I'm definitely up on the bill today. Thank you.
Representative Greco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to vote up on this today. I'm not completely sold on this yet. I think there's a lot of moving parts. One of the issues that has me leaning in favor of the bill, and it goes to the question that I asked. There's nothing preventing the venues, whether it be the sports teams, Ticketmaster, Live Nation, from creating a transferable product, but then charging a fee. And by doing that, you know, that to me by not having that addressed in the bill. I like that, because this way, if they want to do that, that's fine. They want to charge a fee, they can get their, you know, they can get their bite at the apple and make a transferable ticket more pricey. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. That's free market as well. So I'll be up on the bill with an asterisk.
Representative Marion.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Fine, for the fun debate. I just wanted to just share a story as to why this bill, I think this bill is not the right way for us to go. As I did allude to, I am a Swiftie, and one of the things that Taylor Swift does when she is selling her concert tickets is she, if you want access to the normal prices, you want to pay $150 for your ticket as opposed to $1,000 for your ticket, you need to post on social media and you need to follow this account, follow her account and all these different things and steps she has to check that you're a fan of hers. And when she does that, you then can go in and you can earn like certain different points to be able to get what tickets and to be able to get tickets at a different price. And that way she can determine if it's her fans buying the tickets or if it's not. And while is that necessary for every ticket sale that happens? No, but that's what she chooses to do because her stadiums sell out. So when she does that, you give the artist the ability to determine how their tickets are sold and who are buying their tickets. And at the end of the day, you're going to this venue to see an artist perform or to watch a team play. And so I definitely see some of your points, Representative, regarding how the tickets are resold. And if your bill only addressed the fact that if they are resold or marked up, it has to be done on any platform or can't be restricted to the platform that they're originally on, that would be a different conversation. But that's not what your bill does. It does more than that. And I think it should be up to the artist how they want to be able to sell their tickets. And if they want to make sure that only their fans are buying their tickets, I think they should be able to do that. So I'd encourage you all to vote against the bill. Thanks.
Representative Escomani.
Thanks so much, Chair. And I definitely appreciate those points made by Brett Mariano. I love the idea of artists having that greater control. And I wonder if the bill proceeds, if Chair Fike can maybe try to find a way to make sure that balance between artist and customer is there. Because I think what you're trying to get at is like that intermediary, right? That connects the artist to the fan or to the potential ticket purchaser. And so dealing with the middle part though, for me, I tend to not like monopolies. I think that vertical integration is a problem, as we see with medical cannabis, for example, where it's just, you know, the same entities that control everything. So I personally don't have an issue with, you know, allowing for resale to have more options. I would like to make sure there are those additional, you know, artist protections, but also consumer protections, like Rep. Nixon said, around whatever those anti-fraud efforts and, you know, bot control. I mean, as you mentioned, there are already rules in play to help prevent that, but obviously something like this can open up the flood, you know, open up the door for more bad actors within the space. And so would love to learn more and see more of that. But I think overall, you know, for today, I'm fine with the concept of giving more options, but I really want to just echo those points made by Rep. Mariano on making sure the artist can maintain some control. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Representative Fine, I appreciate you bringing this bill. Similar to Representative Gregory, I kind of wish government never got involved in the ticket business. When I was much older than everybody here, I remember going to concerts at Madison Square Garden. You'd be buying tickets off the street, off a small entrepreneur that was trying to make a few bucks. And I had no problem as
the
consumer. That was actually the Beatles, yes.
I thought it was.
Just saying. But I don't know how we ever got that. And now it's the same story, you know, 50 years later, but now it's the same story. I know Representative Mariano was getting to the point, like, artists, if they want to negotiate with the venue and say, listen, I only want you to sell paper tickets, they can negotiate that up front with the venue right now. So I'm going to be up on the bill, but I'm not really sure why this problem that we continue to try to solve is out there. Now it's just on technology. So, with that, you're recognized to close.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for agendaing this bill today. I'd make a few closing comments. First, like any bill, this bill is a work in progress. It's a first committee. There's a lot of stakeholders. It's a complicated issue, and we will have, hopefully some of those lobbyists will come and see me at some point, and we can talk about it. Maybe I'm scary. But I want to address Rep. Mariano's comment about fans buying tickets. I would suggest that you sort of prove the reason we should do this. Because clearly, if you've got to go through all this difficulty to buy the ticket, you're not a bot, and you're probably going to actually go to the concert, you know, because you're going to the trouble to do this. You're not going to go through all of this to buy six tickets that then you can sell in a secondary market. But then what happens if you, having bought that ticket, we have a special session on something and you can't go? Should we be in a situation where you have to throw those tickets away? I would assume part of the reason people do what they do is they can't afford the $1,000 tickets, but they can afford the $150 tickets. And is it fair to those individuals to say, if you can't go, you got to throw them in the trash? To speak to Representative Gregory's comment, the freedom to contract, I think a potential landing spot for this bill would be to say the following. And we're not here yet, and it's something I'm thinking about as we move forward. If you as an artist want to say your tickets can't be resold, that's fine. But if you want to say your tickets can be resold, you can't just say they only can be sold coincidentally through the same company that is trying to do all this vertical integration. They either can or they can't. That would solve the freedom to contract without creating this monopolistic predatory behavior. Well, that's what's going on. That's the problem that we are trying to solve. The notion of no resale, as we heard from the speaker, that's happening incredibly infrequently. What this debate is about is saying, if you want to resell your ticket, if you want to transfer your ticket, should someone be able to say, but you can only do it here? Or should you be able to do it however it is that you want? I think this bill looks out for the little guy. And with that, I'd ask for your favorable support.
Thank you. Representative Fine, having closed on his bill, Tatiana, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic members, Kamani?
Yes.
Representatives, Beltran?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Gulf Marcel?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
No.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Onfroy is excused. Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken? Yes. Robinson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
He'll pass.
Thank you, members. By your vote, we will show HB 969 resale tickets reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, members, as the Beatles said, let it be. This, I think, really is going to be the end of the committee. I'm sorry that we had to bring you back for these two amazing bills that the people are asking for. And with that, Representative Harding moves we rise, and without objection, we adjourn. Thank you.